Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.
Well, it's hard to believe that we are almost at the end of week 8 of these lockdown measures. Well, it's certainly in some shape or form anyway, isn't it? And it's really the long-term impact of all of this and the payments that dominates the broadsheets here at home this morning, because the Irish Times leads today, for instance, with the government facing now a political battle over the COVID welfare payments. This is a opposition party saying that they'll fight any attempts by government to reduce or to change the special COVID-19 welfare payments, following repeated suggestions by the Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue, that the payments cannot continue indefinitely. Government income and the wage supports that were, of course, introduced in response to this COVID-19 crisis are set to be reduced in the weeks ahead, Pascal Donoghue indicated again yesterday, though he did say they will continue in a modified way beyond their current expiry date, which is the end of June, the end of next month. But a dull battle now over the changing the pandemic payments is pretty much guaranteed. For instance, the People Before Profit TDs warning that they'll fight any such move. Also in the Dáil, Mary Lou MacDonald warning the government not to cut the payments. That's the story dominating the front page of the Irish Times this morning. The other element to COVID-19 today in the front page of the paper is really is the long-term impact of all of this, and in particular in the hospitality sector, because the Irish Examiner leading this morning with the hospitality sector needing this 0% VAT rate to give them a fighting chance of survival. That's according to the junior tourism minister, Brendan Griffin. He also suggested that the government give consideration now to this idea of an extra bank holiday as part of the rescue package, and said that a speedy recovery for the tourist industry is unlikely. We want to hear from you this morning on that. What do you make of that suggestion? If you're working in the hospitality industry, if you're in the hotel, the cafe, the restaurant, the pub business, any element of that, an extra bank holiday, would that, as Brendan Griffin says, give you a fighting chance? Maybe give businesses in the hospitality sector who really will miss out on much of the summer earnings a chance to try and claw back that lost revenue? If you've any thoughts on that this morning, you can let us know your view. 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. I did hear some businesses, I have to say anecdotally, talking about the idea of wanting a new or a second or certainly a delayed Paddy's Day a little bit later on in the year, but you can let us know your view on that on Twitter this morning too today. The Irish Independent leads this morning with whistleblower claims. Front page of the paper, exclusive story by Catherine Fegan, writing that a whistleblower in a HSC nursing home where a significant number of patients had died from COVID-19 has made a protected disclosure over the handling of the outbreak. The 35-page dossier was made to the Health Minister, Simon Harris, and the CEO of the HSC, Paul Reid, last night, and it was lodged under protected disclosure legislation. And there's more in that story, front page and also inside the Irish Independent this morning. The Leaving Cert, still dominating the papers too today. The teachers' trade unions, they've of course voiced their concerns, fairly grave concerns, to the Department of Education officials about the health implications now for members if the Leaving Cert is to go ahead later this summer, scheduled to start on at the end of July. Both the trade unions met last night to discuss the issues and what role their members may be prepared to play in grading Leaving Cert students if the exams are cancelled. And this followed on from the meeting that we mentioned yesterday with the Education Minister Joe McHugh, but still waiting for a final decision on that. The two stories that caught my eye this morning, the front page of the Irish Examiner, Flyby confessions and outdoor masses could be on the cards as the Catholic Church is now trying to chart its way out of the COVID-19 lockdown. These are in addition to bringing services to hundreds of thousands who are accessing prayer online since the introduction of the restrictions back in March. And really, while any return to normal service, religious service, will be slow, gradual, according to the Archbishop Eamon Martin, who's the Catholic Primate of All Ireland, he says he's open to suggestions for creative ways to bring people together once again. Now, the churches aren't due to reopen for ordinary services until the 20th of July. Of course, the weddings, the baptisms, they'll all be subject to social distancing from that day too. But drive-in confessions are already in offer in one Dublin parish, and the Archbishop said that there is no reason that they couldn't be extended out to other areas. In fact, he offered a confession to a parishioner of his own in recent days, sitting 3 metres apart in a church car park rather than in a confessional. That's according to the front page of the Irish Examiner this morning. We want to know, how do you feel about that? Drive-in confessions, drive-through confessions, would you go to one? I wonder, would anyone else see you? Although maybe they wouldn't, I presume they wouldn't know what's going on. But you can let us know your view on that story this morning. 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Just on that, actually, in the UK, for instance, I was reading in the Telegraph this morning that the funeral homes there are offering drive-by services to allow relatives to mourn in this lockdown period. In the UK, some funerals have, of course, been restricted to fewer than 10 mourners with no flowers. But funeral homes in Britain have started offering these drive-by services in lockdown to allow more loved ones to pay their respects. And the Co-op in Britain has launched this range of what they're describing as new services for mourners to attend ceremonies while complying with the British government's social distancing guidelines. And the company will offer cortege services to pass by a loved one's favourite place or to pass by the family to the family home to allow them and those isolating a chance to pay their last respects. And there's more on that story inside the British Telegraph to today. The other story that caught my eye this morning is in the front page of the Irish Independent, and I'm sure you're going to be hearing much more about this story too today. It's a piece by the paper's political editor Philip Ryan that a third of people arriving in Ireland over the last 6 weeks refused to hand over details of where they were staying to allow the authorities to confirm that they were self-isolating. And the Irish Independent reports this morning they've seen new figures which show hundreds of people who flew into Dublin Airport during that time did not fill in forms detailing where they would be staying. And the forms requested the information about the address where the individual would stay for the 2 week period after they arrived here in this country. Because under the new rules that were introduced by the government in an effort to try and stop the spread of the disease from overseas, anyone who arrives here in this country is asked to sign a passenger location form when they arrive at the airport. But it's now emerged that 671 passengers have refused to hand over those contact details to the authorities. More on that story front page and also inside the Irish Independent to today. Just to some of the other stories that you'll be hearing about as well this morning. Illegal dumping has been something that I know was covered in Breakfast in recent days, but it's back inside the Irish Times this morning because there's been a sharp increase now in dumping of household waste, which has been seen right across Dublin City and County during the pandemic. Illegal dumping rates are up 25% in Dublin City alone. That's according to new details. And the city's street cleaning crews are encountering a rise in general refuse as well as rubbish from household clearouts. And in one case, they cite that a bath was dumped on a street in Dublin city centre. There's more on that story by Olivia Kelly inside the Irish Times this morning. Also inside the Irish Times today, review calls for €50,000 Dáil cameras. This is the expert review that was carried into electronic voting, and the Dáil has recommended now the installation of extra cameras in the chamber, but at a cost of about €50,000 to prevent TDs from voting for their colleagues. And this follows on from the controversy that surrounded electronic voting practices in the Dáil when it first emerged last year. More on that story on page 7 of the Irish Times this morning. Just finally for today, we want to know, what are you doing to try and keep yourself busy during this period, and in particular maybe at the weekends? Well, in the UK, a story in the Times there this morning, board games and cocktails top the shaken up shopping lists. This has been, of course, long regarded as the barometer of maybe some middle class consumer habits, but the John Lewis and Waitrose have revealed how the current crisis has changed the shopping habits of many consumers. And probably not too dissimilar to here, I'd imagine, but wine now tops many household shopping lists. Many are also becoming their own bartenders for cocktail nights at home. They're seeking to entertain themselves and others. I've tried my hand at cocktail making myself, actually, in recent days, but about 20% of the 2,000 customers polled said they'd hosted a video cocktail party. 9% had an online date. And the survey also analysed the sales data and online searches, and it found a growth of interest, though, in traditional games for parents to keep their kids entertained. Things like swing ball, Scrabble, Monopoly and Lego. This was at its peak by week 4, though, with a surge in online traffic, in particular around the 8:30 mark in the evening. And John Lewis said sales of the male grooming products were up fourfold. Hair removal technology was also up nearly 8 times, and hair dye at Waitrose, that was up 149%. Staying at home, of course, has changed the cooking habits as well, with half of those surveyed saying that they were more conscious about what they had in the cupboards and not wasting any leftovers, with searches for soup recipes up 51%. And Waitrose said that more than a quarter of shoppers were experimenting with their cooking skills, in particular with Indian food ingredients such as masala, the most popular. We want to know, have your cooking habits changed in recent weeks? Those are the stories making the headlines this Thursday morning.
Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.